Welcome to the Beacon Way podcast, where your hosts, Jennifer Christensen and Adrian Wilkerson, talk shop about what really works in today's digital marketing world. As the co-founders of Beacon Media and Marketing, Jennifer and Adrian have been a part of digital marketing since its early stages in the mid-2000s. Tune in as they shine light on what works and what doesn't in the ever-changing world of digital marketing for small businesses.
Welcome back to the Beacon Way podcast. I am so excited today, and I mean that with full joy. I've got somebody really special to share with today, somebody that I met through LinkedIn that we've been working with at Beacon that is just really one of my favorite voices in SEO in the community right now. I absolutely align with her values and excited to have her share some of her knowledge with everybody today. So I am excited to welcome Zoe Ashbridge. If you want to look her up while you're looking at this. 4Rank is the name of her company. And that was a long intro, Zoe, but welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much. It was a great intro, and I'm equally excited to be here.
Yeah, I've just enjoyed so many of our conversations, and I thought these conversations, other people need to be a part of it. We get a lot of SEO questions, and we do SEO for a lot of our clients, but you just take it to an entirely different level. So I'm excited to dig in. I think the best thing for today that I'd really like to accomplish is let's dig in on some of the tougher questions that people have in this space right now. And we'll just toss it back and forth.
Sounds good to me.
Okay. So we get asked a lot, how do I measure success of SEO? How do I know if my SEO is working? Beyond even knowing what SEO is, what are the metrics? How can I know this is making a difference? How do you approach that?
I think this is a good question because I think some of the metrics that are perhaps most obvious get a little bit of negativity in the community. And I think it's a little bit unfair because, although I do get it and I'll get into this, but the first thing you want to measure is clicks and impressions. And it's going to be like there'll be perhaps a group of people who are rolling their eyes because they're often referred to as vanity metrics. And I totally understand that because the argument there is that clicks and impressions don't equal revenue or are not always an indicator of success. But my kind of argument would be that it's the first thing that you have to get before all of that good stuff comes. Generally, when you start doing SEO, you'll see the impression line will increase first. And when I say impression line, I'm talking about Google Search Console, which everyone should be using. That's going to be the first thing that you're going to see increase, which is like visibility, people stumbling across your content in Google. And then eventually that's going to turn into clicks. So the click line would follow. And then once you've got the clicks, you can start getting your revenue, your conversions, and your qualified traffic. And the reason why those metrics get like a little bit of bad press, should we say, is because, like I said, you can get an awful lot of clicks to a website and not necessarily convert the traffic. And I've got a case study of that, which I made that mistake probably 5 years ago when I perhaps first started. And I actually got 2 million clicks to a client's website. We were all so excited, but I was just so focused on clicks. I hadn't actually realized that until I got a little bit smarter with my tracking, that those 2 million clicks I couldn't actually attribute to a sale, which is crazy to think about because you'd almost think in someone within that 2 million would be a qualified buyer. But I think it wasn't the case, or at least I couldn't prove it was the case. So that kind of leads me on quite nicely to the next thing that you want to be measuring is your revenue. And that can get a little bit difficult with SEO because you are generally bringing in new users. It will generally be your biggest traffic generator, especially if you're doing a lot through the blog, which is excellent for loads of reasons. But this traffic won't always convert. And of course, we don't really expect someone to find our website, be a new user, not know the brand yet, and convert straight away. There's that kind of rule of 8 touch points before you get a conversion. So I like to track that. There are a few ways to do that, which we can get into later. And the other thing to track, I think, is keywords. You want to be targeting a few keywords, some of the strongest ones. Probably be a little bit overwhelming to do them all. So I tend to pick perhaps the most important ones and then track those with some software or with Google Search Console.
Yeah, I love that you said all three of those because I think, and your 2 million is a great example, but overall, what we find is that increase in traffic is a leading indicator, right? It's not like an immediate, if you're doing the SEO correctly and you're focusing on content that's the most valuable for your potential clients and answering their questions, that like increased traffic is usually a good leading indicator that we can see in the next 2 to 3 months that starts leading to conversions. With your 2 million example aside, I agree with you. People talk about vanity metrics, but there's only so much that we can track. And to not track that at all, I think is irresponsible too. If your traffic starts going down, it may not affect your conversions immediately. But again, we see that as a leading indicator. Clients then in 2 to 3 months will say, hey, something's shifted. And I think that's sometimes why SEO gets a bad rap, because it's not always that immediate hit or immediate conversion, right?
Agree. And actually, tracking clicks, like you just said there, is a good indicator. But if you're like hiring someone, they should be able to move something within, I do think 3 months is generally fair. It depends on how young the website is. It depends on the niche. It depends on so many things. But I think if you've got no movement in 6 months, then I think something's a little bit wrong there, especially if the website has committed to the strategy that's been put in front of them. In 6 months' time, you should certainly see impressions or clicks moving. And if you're not seeing that in 6 months, then I think that's like a bit of a red flag, really. And that's on the client as well to track that and make sure that someone's given them some indicator of what's moving, what those first early movements.
So I know one of the reasons that we chose working with you, which I'm so glad we did, it's been a great decision, but I know one of the reasons we chose working with you is that on LinkedIn, you're often giving even concrete examples of things people can do. I think for many of our clients, and even a lot in the digital marketing world as well, SEO still tends to be the most nebulous, where you feel like it's not as concrete. When clients come to you and they have those concerns, do you find that even showing like concrete examples of work or concrete plans that are being executed, like what helps overcome that fear?
That's quite a good question. I think, proof of work definitely helps. So being able to show someone, this is what I've done before, this is what their graph looks like in Google Search Console, having someone vouch for you, a referral, I think that's really strong. Like, it is quite a scary investment, I think. So I completely understand when someone is a bit nervous about it, especially because you've got that weight. Like some websites, I've taken on clients before and said, I'd love to work with you, but you're looking at a year before you can get meaningful results. And that's quite scary, because then they've got to hire me for 1 year and just trust that process for a year. And I totally get how scary that is, which probably, I think even just that transparency actually probably helps, because the client at that point knows they can just, she's been honest, she's going to take a year. Maybe they'll go and find someone who says they can do it in 3 months and they don't. But I think the transparency helps, definitely proof. For me personally, I post a lot on LinkedIn and quite active there. So people can see there's a general interest and passion in SEO. I would imagine that helps as well.
Yeah, but I think that's a really good answer, because when you have an industry that is fraught with so much fraud or people taking advantage, I think having proof of character, really, and trust and referrals and work that you've done is probably the number one thing. So when people, even some of our clients have come to us of, oh, this other company promised this, or they said that they can do this. But then when we dig into it, it's such a shallow shell. There's no reviews, or the reviews are fake. And I think that's, again, one of the reasons we chose you. There was so many markers of trust. And when you're looking at something, like you said, that you're not going to see results from right away, what do you have to go on? You have to go on trust. Yeah. And we experienced that in the digital marketing side too. Paid ads are faster for sure. And doing UX on a website and landing pages are faster than SEO. But there still is a time of testing. And there's months often in the beginning where sometimes things can even go down and get worse before they get better. Yep. As we're testing new things. So it really does all come down to, who do you trust? What's their character? All of those things. So those are great answers. So I'm going to just put the elephant in the room right now. We've had some good discussions about this, and I'm definitely getting asked this a lot as well. What's your take right now on SEO with AI? Do you have a standard or principles that you're following of how you're using AI or how you're not using AI? And what advice would you give for the listeners that are trying to make a decision on that?
So AI is obviously huge at the moment. We've just had the massive March core update, which promised to wipe out 40% of unhelpful content, which I thought was great. As an SEO who doesn't commission unhelpful content, I was like, great, get rid of it. Clean up the more space for me to move up. I'm really all for this. I slept very well all through March. So I'm not against AI at all. And I want to put that out there in case I do sound like I am, might sound a bit contradictory. I don't love it personally because I guess I've got a bit of a writer's background, so I like to do things, but then we all use AI a lot. I love a project management tool that's got AI in it. I use Grammarly, all sorts of good AI tools. But generally for content, I don't think it's very good, especially if you're just getting something off, especially ChatGPT with kind of a weak prompt, putting it on your website, not editing it, not adding your own personal experience. You're going to end up in trouble doing that. It's going to be a waste of time, or you're going to try and scale with it, which is where people have gone really wrong and they've learned in March and their whole websites have just been de-indexed overnight. Yeah, obviously I haven't had that experience because I don't use AI to that capacity. I have seen it done quite well and I have tested it. So I've got my own kind of personal blog where I just do terrible SEO things to it to see what happens. Yeah. If I get an idea or I want to test working with someone, I put them on my blog first. If the blog survives, then maybe I'll roll it out to clients. And I did put some AI content onto my blog that's not like fully AI. I've not pulled ChatGPT and just thrown it up. I have done some like light editing. And to be fair, that content is okay still. And I did work with someone else who did, I would say, pretty sophisticated AI content. Generally, I read AI content. I think that's really terrible. But I read the work that he produced, and actually it was pretty good considering it had come straight from an AI tool. But he was doing quite sophisticated briefs and prompts. So you can do it quite well. I would be wary of it, but feel free to experiment it and shave off a little bit of time. Things like meta descriptions aren't really that important because they get rewritten and they're not a ranking factor. Sure, if you've got like hundreds to write and AI can do it faster, that makes sense to me. But you just want to make sure you're just being integral, really, and doing the right thing and adding your unique experience to your content.
Yeah, I love that you're testing it like that. I think that's really wise. We have our own AI policy, which we're going to actually release to our clients so they can even use it potentially as a template. Because I think everybody has to wrestle with that for sure, where you stand on it. And I'm kind of with you. I don't love it. There's no part of me that's like the creative part of me, the part that loves to write, all of that. Like I'm not. And then when I see people using it, like on LinkedIn responses and stuff like that, it's just, like I used to love LinkedIn. Now it's definitely not as fun for me as it used to be because I'm really wondering whether it's an actual response or not. So some of that type of thing I feel is such a misuse.
Yeah.
Where you have a site where it's supposed to be about personal connection and really getting to know people and providing helpful, relevant content. And if they're doing that, I don't even see the purpose of it. So I have lots of opinions on how I feel about AI, but it's not going away. That's clear. We're on this path that is rapidly changing. I was super excited about the March update because all of our clients did really well coming through that. And so did we. We've actually gone up quite a bit. And I think what I really learned out of that is it just makes even more sense. Right? The more personalized content, the content that's the most helpful, I do feel like the quality is going to come to the top. But that being said, using those EAT principles, that being said, if there are ways to speed up tasks that are repetitive that are not about, I think, so that's where we draw the line. If there's tasks and there's things that are just going to make us more efficient and better for our clients and provide better value,
yeah,
we're all about it. Once it gets into the realm of a brand or owning content or creativity, that's going to be an interesting conversation over the next year, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely like your attitude about it. I think we'll all have to keep having a good conversation about it. But again, I think the proof in your client results that nobody dropped tremendously is a good sign.
Yeah, absolutely. I said I slept really well in March, but it's a little bit of a white lie because I kept reading like these horror stories on LinkedIn. I just got to go and check my sites, and I've got like a manual. I've gone like a manual penalty. I didn't get any. I didn't really expect to, but there was a little part of me that's like, I hope I'm going to be all right. But yeah, of course it was fine.
So we've got about 5 minutes left. I'd love to share if you have any tools or, again, for those of you that don't follow Zoya on LinkedIn, I definitely suggest following her because she gives great little snippets of even, hey, you've got 30 minutes or an hour. Here's something you can do to improve your SEO. I love that you provide that. But outside of those tips, are there certain tools that you're using that you think, whether they're AI or not AI, that you think are helpful if you're just DIYing this and trying to do some SEO for yourself?
So if you're doing like DIY, so perhaps someone's looking for like tools on a budget or even free, the first two that you have to go and get immediately, which are free, are Google Analytics or G4, and then Google Search Console. And a lot of brands skip. They get analytics, then they don't get Google Search Console. And Google Search Console is the best SEO tool. It's so good. I love it. It's my favorite and it's free. And the reason why it's so good is because it tells you what's actually going on with your website. So you can go in there, you can see what pages are ranking, you can see exactly what keywords people are finding you for, what they're clicking, and which page they're clicking to. So you can use that really for everything, even keyword research. So definitely that. And then I think if you wanted to be perhaps a little bit more sophisticated and wanted to make things a little bit easier, you might start tracking keywords. You can actually track your keywords in Google Search Console, but it's going to be like a bit laborious because you've got to go in manually, run the search each time. But if you get a keyword tracking tool, you can just do all that, set it up, and then every day, every week, whatever, you can go in and see which keywords have moved and which ones have dropped. And there are loads of tools for that. There's one that I've not used actually called SEO Crawl, which is meant to be really good and budget friendly. But right now I'm using SE Ranking for this. And that is a cheaper alternative than like Ahrefs and SEMrush that does basically the same thing, but on like a bit of a smaller scale. So I'd recommend SEO Ranking. If you want to do like extensive keyword research, then maybe something like SEMrush would be better just because they've got a much larger database of keywords. So it's slightly better. And then the tool finally that I can't live without, which is a crawling tool, which you would use only if you were auditing websites, really. Not so much perhaps if you're doing it by yourself, but Screaming Frog I love for $150 a month, a year. Live like access for the year, and I probably click into that at least weekly, and you can just crawl your whole site. It'll tell you where your errors are. You need to Screaming Frog because I think you need to be able to analyze the data yourself. It's not really going to give you anything, whereas something like Siteball, which is the same thing, slightly more expensive, but you do get this lovely like dashboard that makes everything a little bit easier. It's a little bit more client friendly as well.
You turned on a Screaming Frog. I think it was you, but that's been a little bit of a game changer for us, for sure. Just being able to see, especially if we're taking, like, so this isn't quite DIY, but if let's say you're taking a site that has 150 pages and you're wanting to move that for whatever reason, you're redoing your site and you're like, oh, should I bring how to all 150 pages over? You might think that certain content is not valuable, but then through Screaming Frog, being able to look at every single page, we found some really valuable information, which we had certain pages that were getting backlinks that we would never have known that. And so we would have lost the juice on those pages had we not had Screaming Frog to lay all that out for us. So I agree. Great tool. I'm not familiar with SE ranking, but anything less expensive than SEMrush sounds like a good plan to me.
I just thought I'm just going to give it a go. It's at least half the price.
Right.
And because generally now I'm working with people with quite established sites, I can do a lot of my keyword research in Google Search Console because I've just got like a trove of untapped opportunities there. And I can do the competitive analysis with SE Ranking now. So I'm going to give it a go and I'll report back. I do a little tool roundup on LinkedIn every so many months while I'll be betting it on there soon.
Yeah, those are great tools. Thank you for that. It was good and helpful. So I guess the last thing I want to ask, and I love your personal story of, as I was telling you yesterday, my daughter looks up to you as someone, as an example of being able to travel the world and do a job, which is fantastic. That's good inspiration. But I guess I'd like to know a little bit about like how you even got into this. Certainly could have asked this in the beginning, but here we are at the end. But I'd like to know what drove you to be interested in SEO. Did you come from a writing background? What kind of started you on that journey?
It's actually quite linked to my travels. I always loved writing. I can remember being like in secondary school and even primary school and being like rewarded for my writing with like sweets from like one of the teachers. So like I loved it. It's always been in my life. And I used to write short stories when I was like 8 years old. So content's always been a big part of my life. And then I set off to cycle around the world, which is ambitious. And as I was doing that, I just started writing a blog. And I didn't even, I didn't know what SEO was. I knew what keywords were. So I'd worked in an agency as a project manager and I'd learned the basics. And then as I was writing this blog, I just thought, I'll just update this title tag and I'll just put some headings in this blog. And I got my first page one rank. And it was a really long tail keyword. It was like cycling in Azerbaijan, and obviously not that many people are cycling in Azerbaijan. So I went straight to page one. And I was like, oh, that's really cool. And I just got addicted, basically. Yeah. Started looking at my own blog. My travels ended because of COVID. I cycled to Vietnam, got stuck out there, got the last flight back to the UK. I needed to get a job. Obviously, I left an employer behind me. So I tried to get into content writing, getting back into that childhood dream. Then I realized, if I want people to find this, I need to do this SEO thing. So I'll just do what I learned on my blog for my clients. And then it all just grew from there, really. And yeah, loved every minute.
I think that's a great way to get into it. I love that. I love that story. I never expected to be so nerdy and love SEO the way that I do. And I think it really is addictive because when you see the results, it's just, I'm helping my husband grow his tour company, and which has just really taken off. And when I could see that, wow, I did these few things and now he's ranking ahead of tour companies that have been around for 5, 7, 10 years because we're putting out better content and just have those few pieces. It's not only addicting, it really affects the business.
Yeah.
I mean, it really makes an impact. I love that feeling.
Yeah, same. I think it's becoming a bit more rewarding as well. I think the March update has given me a little bit of a shot in the arm, really, because it's quite satisfying to know that like that good, honest, soulful content that means something is like really starting to matter. And I think it's shaking the industry a little bit. And I'm glad to see it, to be honest. I don't say to give me back motivation, but it's been exciting to see that.
Yeah, I agree with you on that too. If it had kept going the way that it was going direction-wise, I was definitely losing faith a little bit of if the people that are just doing, the people that are cheating really are going to win, like that's not a fun game to be a part of, right?
Yeah.
But I totally agree with you on that. I know we could talk about this all day, but I think we've given some really good tips, some tools people can look into. And so best way to reach you is do you want people to reach out on LinkedIn or through your website?
Yeah, probably LinkedIn is best. I'm pretty much always there. Okay. Just search on LinkedIn and look out for my SEO blasts on Wednesdays.
Perfect. Thank you so much for taking the time.
No, thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to this episode of The Beacon Way. We hope you enjoyed it and had some good takeaways. Please subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. And if you've enjoyed the show, please give us some stars on your podcast channel of choice. For more information, tips, and notes from the show, check us out at beaconmm.com. For more information on how Beacon can help market your business, email us at welcome@beaconmm.com.